It's 4 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 6 o'clock in Chicago and 7 p.m. in New York City. Hello, everybody. Welcome to What's the Buzz, America's Best Podcast. I am your host, Angelo, the Mad Dog DeCipio, joined as I am this week by the movie maker himself, Mr. Mike Messier. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great, Angelo. Good to be here. Really looking forward to talking with our guest tonight and talking with you as always. It's going to be a fun night.
Beautiful. We have an amazing, amazing guest. Before I get to Sean Bailey, I want to say thank you to my amazing audience. Because of you, we picked up two more radio stations at Radio Q102 in Dublin, Ireland, at just in time for St. Paddy's Day, too, by the way. How about that? Day after St. Paddy's Day. And Radio Paloma 97.5 in Kaiserslautern, Germany. Welcome. And we are brought to you tonight, as we are always, by Manscaped.com. Tonight, a very special show, saluting the great one with one of the best. His name is Sean Bailey. He is a frequent guest here, returning this time to talk about the life, career, and magic that was Jackie Gleason. Sean, welcome, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
I love
all the way out there in here. Germany and Ireland, traveling coast to coast all around the world too, huh?
We are on right now more than 2,800 platforms around the world. 1,300 plus are radio stations. The rest are broadcasting platforms. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to Pepsi and Manscaped.com for helping us out here in our advertising. They have been remarkably invaluable. They really, really have. Mike Messier is a big part of that. Mikey was the guy who got us Manscaped.com.
Yes, I believe that's true. Thanks for remembering. And yeah, great company, great product.
How can I forget, brother? They're still with me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are, we're going to talk about an enigmatic guy tonight. He's really kind of an enigma in certain ways, Sean. But before we talk about, you know, how Jackie Gleason came into your life, let me just give everybody a little heads up here. We're talking about the extraordinary life of Jackie Gleason. If you don't know, if you're just a little too young to know who he is, thank goodness we got this thing called the computer and you can find everything out you need to know. His penchant for fine food, generously poured scotch and beautiful women, his ability to dominate a room, stage, or the screen, his taste for custom-made suits, monogram shirts, and the ubiquitous red carnation, his appetite for the biggest, the best, and just a dollar more than the other guy made, all became part of the Gleason legend, which began on Brooklyn's Herkimer Street in 1916. I'm looking at something here that says 1966. During the 1950s and 60s, Gleason recorded 43 albums of music, wrote the theme songs for both of his principal TV shows, The Honeymooners and The Jackie Gleason Show, and built a round UFO house in Peekskill, New York, starred in 9 films, garnered an Oscar nomination for The Hustler. He won a Broadway Tony Award performance as Uncle Sid in Take Me Along. Were that not enough? He hosted more than 30-plus television specials from 1962 to 1976. And that's just a parcel of his career. Sean, you are regarded as one of the probably the premier Jackie Gleason impersonator in the country, because there's, quite frankly, aren't a lot of guys who do Jackie. And to be able to do Jackie Gleason, his mannerisms, his voice, his characterization, as well as you pull it off, is nothing short of astounding. And it didn't hurt that God was good to you in the facial department, because you look like him too.
Well, I appreciate all the kind words there. It's just, when you see Jackie and you just immortalize him, and it's like, you got to just keep that legacy growing, you know?
Absolutely. Mike Messier, what do you know about the great one, Jackie Gleason?
When I was a kid, the Honeymooners were in reruns, I believe, at 10:30 at night on Channel 56. It was either Channel 56 or 25 out of Boston. And I got hooked. You know, there was a particular summer when I was in Rhode Island, and the Honeymooners would come on, and I really didn't know at a young age. I didn't know the backstory, but that summer, my mom took me to this place called the Umbrella Factory in Charlestown, Rhode Island. It had a novelty store, and they had a poster of Art Carney and Jackie Gleason as the neighbors, you know, Ed Norton and Ralph Cramden, and purchased the poster. And I had that poster on my wall for several years of my childhood, probably when I was 13 to 15 or 16. And, you know, he's had a great career. I remember a few years after that, I caught a movie on cable TV that was one of Jackie's, probably one of his last best performances, Nothing in Common with Tom Hanks, where you can see in this movie the passing of the torch of the everyman character that Jackie was so great at playing in a lot of productions, not every single one, but a lot of his was kind of the everyman. And Tom Hanks kind of did that for a while, the everyman, you know. And seeing these two guys work together before Hanks was Tom Hanks with a capital T and a capital H, you can really see that honor of this acting greatness being passed in that movie. Mm-hmm. And then just last night, in order to kind of rev up for this show, I watched a classic that I had never seen before, Requiem for a Heavyweight. And I knew that boxing was a backdrop, and that, you know, Jackie Gleason played the boxing promoter, managed the Anthony Quinn character, and Muhammad Ali has a cameo in this movie, and Mickey Rooney's the trainer, and oh my goodness. And I did not know that our pro wrestling would be in this movie or how it would be portrayed with
the end,
but I'm telling you, I mean, this guy, like you said,
we can't escape it, Mike. We can't escape it.
Yeah. But I mean, you talk about the Mount Rushmore of television, at least for United States.
For sure.
I mean, it's you'd have Jackie, Milton Berle, Johnny Carson, and I don't know who the fourth spot would be, but I mean, Jackie would be on that Mount Rushmore by all means.
It's interesting that you mentioned both of those names, Mike. Sean, let's go back to the beginning. In your life, how did Jackie Gleason enter the life of Sean Bailey?
You know, it for me, you know, I had seen the Honeymooners, but didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. Just it was amusing, you know, it was funny. And Jackie, just when he was on screen, he owned the screen. He owned the audience. He, you know, everything was just perfectly centered around him in that universe. Then probably the thing that just really jumped out was Smokey and the Bandit. And then it's like, wait a minute, this is the same guy, you know, in both these characters, and they're total different characters. So that just brings it out even more of his ability. So for me, yeah, I would go back to Honeymooners opening the door, and then Smokey and the Bandit just knocking the door down.
I became aware of Jackie Gleason very, very young in life. It's no secret. Everybody knows that I'm pushing 65 here in about 2 months or so. A little longer than two and a half months. So I have a few years on. At least Mikey, I got a little bit of time on Mikey. I'm probably maybe around your age, Sean, or if you tell me I'm older.
I'm a little bit younger. I get to play an older guy.
I was going to say, if you tell me you're younger than me, I'm going to smack you. But yeah, I've been around a little bit. But I remember the Honeymooners. My first recollection was 1964. 1964 was the first time I became aware of the Honeymooners, and that was in syndication.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that he only did, oh my God, I think there were only 39 original episodes, Sean.
That's right.
And that was it. And after that, he put everything in the vault and locked it away. Yes. Even then, he was a visionary who knew, he knew what he had. He yes. knew that he had a commodity here, lightning in a bottle, we call it in show business.
Right.
He had lightning in a bottle, and he made sure that he kept the lid on that bottle.
That's exactly
I can testify to that, Sean, because I tried to get some of Jackie's clips for this show tonight, and the Jackie Gleason estate is very, very, they keep that tight to the vest. They are not going to part with Jackie's stuff, not unless you pay them a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I like free stuff.
Something else that's locked away in that vault as well, and that is the third Smokey and the Bandit that was originally filmed, and only a select audience seen it, and then they reshot part of the movie, mm-hmm. and the original copy is locked away in that vault as well.
You know what, Sean? I didn't know that for sure, but you just confirmed it for me. I want to tell people, and Sean, as I said at the beginning of the show, Sean has been a frequent guest here. Sean plays the Jackie Gleason part in Smokey and the Bandit, the live tribute. It's called Eastbound and Down, the ultimate Smokey and the Bandit tribute. And I want to tell you something, folks. If you want them to come to a town or a city near you, they will. Have Truck Will Travel, I assure you. And they do more than an authentic job. You think the movie's coming to life in your town. That's how committed these guys are to the Smokey and the Bandit legacy. So let's be honest about it, Sean. You impressed Paul Williams pretty damn good.
We did. We had a great time with Paul. First time that I met him was a quick interview online, and that was 4 years ago. And just when the camera opened for him to see me, I was wearing the Buford T. Justice attire, and he looks up, stops. Oh my God, you look like Jackie. And yeah, sure that did. Just that set it off right there for both of us. Then here last fall, we got to do a Comic-Con with Paul, and that was just amazing. He really enjoyed it. When we walked up to him, it was just like he was walking up to Bert, Jackie, and Mike Henry. It took him back to 1976 when they were filming the first movie.
Sean, you mentioned Bert in that, in talking about Paul Williams. I know that Bert attended a couple of the Smokey and the Bandit reunions and tributes. He's certainly a friend of Tim Phillips, the guy who does your Burt Reynolds part. And by the way, he is amazing. Tim is really good. Did Burt have any commentary on your character?
You know, we got to work with him a few times, but he just absolutely he loved the attire and the characterization and the portrayal that was brought to him to see. A lot of times, I mean, we got to take a couple of photos with him as Bert and Buford. But just to be able to meet him in that character, he enjoyed it. He really did.
Let me tell everybody a little bit about Jackie. He left us on June 24th, 1987. Jackie passed away from colon cancer in his exclusive Inverary home in Florida. Throughout his professional life, Jackie kept the heart of a child, going back to kind of what Mike Messier said, a whimsicalness that cheered up a sad and tired world. He is buried at St. Mary's Cemetery in a lavish above-ground mausoleum that truly suits the great one. Etched in the marble stairway, and you'll love this, Sean, etched in the marble stairway leading into the sarcophagus, it reads the inscription, and away we go.
Got to visit and pay respects to Jackie just last fall. We were in town for an event in Miami, and then the following weekend we were back in Key West and ended up taking Junior, Jason Bobbitt, that plays Junior for Eastbound and Down, took him by there as well, so he could see and pay his respects. And it's just an amazing sight to see. You know, Jackie wanted he always loved the stage, and he wanted to always be on stage. So the way that the mausoleum is set up is he's on a stage overlooking the waters there. It's a beautiful sight. I think
there's an aspect for me personally, it's a special place in my heart. There's an aspect of Jackie's life that I just find it's serendipity at its best. And yes. Here's where I'm going to go with this. Back in the 1950s, late 50s, when the Honeymooners were getting ready to wrap up and the Jackie Gleason show was making its national debut on CBS television, there were a group of girls called the June Taylor Dancers. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Jackie fell in love with June Taylor's sister way back when and loved her his whole life through both of his marriages and both of his divorces. And finally got to be with the woman who he truly loved after all those years. They finally got married, and she was Mrs. Gleason when Mr. Gleason passed away. I thought that's serendipity. That's God at work in a way that you can't even describe.
Yes.
So I want to talk about the enigma. Mike Messier brought up Jackie's everyday persona, the average guy, the everyday guy. How much, and you know him in a way that no one ever will, because he's in your head and you're in his head. So I'm going to ask you, as Sean, to respond as Jackie might have. What's the difference between Jackie and Ralph?
Whew, wow. You know, to me, there's a lot of connection there. Not was it just the address of his apartment there, leading back to the ties of his childhood apartment. But there was a lot of Jackie, in Ralph. I mean, not just him portraying, but just like where you're going with that is he played basically himself. You know, that goes back to hated to rehearse, wanted to keep it open and moving. He would come through for one read through and then have somebody else stand in while the rest done it. But he wanted to keep it fresh just so he wouldn't get too far off base from where he was, because he's playing himself.
And I was hoping you'd say that. I absolutely knew factually that he hated rehearsals. He was one of these guys that loved, a lot like what you do, Mikey. You like the live, spontaneous reaction when you're doing a film or when you're performing, because you work that way. Yeah. And I knew that Jackie didn't like rehearsing because he wanted it to be organic, Sean. He wanted it to be natural. Let's see what happens. We'll throw some ideas out, and let's see what happens. We'll throw some stuff up against the wall, see what sticks.
Right.
So, I think, and this is whatever my opinion means to anybody, I think that was part of the magic of Gleason. Is it was. That he did what felt good and not necessarily what was on the page, you know?
Yes.
Because sometimes it looks great. Mike Messier, you know this. You're an author. You're a writer.
Yeah.
Sometimes what looks good on the page doesn't transfer to the screen.
Well, I did do some research and watched Jackie did an interview with 60 Minutes and Johnny Carson in 1984 when he was promoting that Nothing in Common movie with Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. And just to clarify what I'm thinking, Sean, the Honeymooners and like the early Jackie Gleason shows, they were all live, right? They were live to people's phones. Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about it, you know, Jackie, he worked best without a net, you know, and that's what makes most performers a bit uncomfortable or a bit uneasy is going live to the whole country and to other parts of the world. That's where Jackie Gleason thrived. And for me, even today, kind of getting in touch with my, you know, childhood self, I was watching some of the Honeymooners on YouTube, and from the moment he comes into the scene, the audience is right there with him because this is a live studio audience and they're just loving it because Jackie and Audrey Meadows and Art Carney, they're playing basically the audience. They're playing the average middle-class working person in that era trying to get by. There was an episode they did around Christmas where, you know, Jackie has bought this kind of gift for his wife, but he also bought himself a bowling ball, and then his wife has bought him the bowling ball, you know, bag, and then this neighbor lady buys, you know, the wife a present that's the exact same present than Jackie, but blah blah blah. But the point is, the audience is just hooked from the moment these characters come on to the stage. And the other great thing about the Honeymooners in particular was, this wasn't a sitcom, even like, you know, Seinfeld had the diner and Seinfeld had Jerry's apartment and maybe the post office or the soup Nazi, you know, diner. With the Honeymooners, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but 99% of the time, if not 100, it was that one little room. So they had to bring the world of the Honeymooners. I can't think that they ever did anything outside of that basic small kitchen. So any storyline had to be exposition of the characters bringing the story from the outside world into that little kitchen. And if you really think about it, 39 episodes of gold. I mean, it's just amazing what they did with that.
Mike Messier, I have a question for you. You're an actor. You're a playwright. You do film. You do some, you know, limited television. But your forte is literary work and film. What, give me from your perspective as an actor, what's the benefit of not rehearsing? What's the benefit of going, as I want to say, going rogue?
Yeah, well, first let me just say disclaimer, that's not how I would do it, just as a disclaimer, but the benefit is just a natural organic reaction. So there are moments, for instance, when I do my YouTube movie reviews, that's all unscripted. That's just me going off. So I think what can happen with a performer like Jackie Gleason, or say in more modern terms, the late Chris Farley or even a John Belushi, is some of these guys are just, Robin Williams, another great example, just their minds are so fast. It's like their mouths can't keep up with the mind. So what you see with some of these guys is they're like a filter for all this thought. And with Jackie, I think maybe even better than all of those guys, is Jackie was also like a filter. He was almost like directing himself as he's performing in the moment.
God, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Because I could not agree with you more. Would you agree with that, Sean?
Absolutely.
Was a brilliant statement. Do me a favor, Sean. Elaborate upon that from your perspective.
I think we cut out there.
Yep, we're good now. We got it.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's the thing is, coming in unrehearsed, knowing that you want to start at point A and hit B and end at C, and to get there, you know what needs to happen. So you can veer off the script, but still be able to come back and hit your mark, if you will, and be able to come back out on this side and still end up back at your mark. A lot of times when we do our live shows, Eastbound and Down. We go out, we know where we're going to, with the cars, when we pull up, we know we're going to stop here at point A. We know basically what scene we are reenacting and what we need to say from here to get us to here. And it's that same way. It's that live response. And you can change it up if you get more laughs out of it, or if you get not as many, it's a little bit weak. You can add just a little bit more punch to it and be able to carry you through to get you back to your mark. I see a lot of that with the Honeymooners, since it was filmed live. Even when Jackie would forget a line, he had a code that others on scene would know that they need to help getting back into where he's supposed to be. And he would touch his belly, rub his belly, and then they would know that he needs a second to remember where he's at to be able to carry through, or they just need to throw him a little something, throw him a bone.
Time to regroup. There was, and Sean, I know you'll remember this. I know for sure you'll remember this. Jackie had a scene, and it was live. He had a scene with Art Carney. You know, of course, Ed Norton and Ralph were in the kitchen, you know, around the table, and Jackie's zipper was down on his pants. And how he covered that up, what would you tell everybody the story there? How he covered that up was brilliant.
I remember bits and pieces of it. I know that he walked around the set, adjusted, got it all zipped up, and went right back into scene.
But that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, it was
flawless. I mean,
without missing a beat, you know?
Yeah, it was flawless. He had a great eye for discovering talent.
Yes.
People don't know this. I know, Sean, that you'll know this. Mike Messier, I'm not sure if you will know this or not, but Audrey Meadows was not his first choice to play Alice Cramden. He didn't like her at first because she was smart mouthy. But then he realized, wait a minute, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Alice has to keep up with Ralph. She's got to give him back what he's given everybody else. And that was, again, that lightning in a bottle, that magic that it was, you know, it'll never happen again like that.
Right.
You know, the Joyce Randolph and, you know, Art Carney. Where are you going to find that caliber of improv actor who can go off script and still maintain the story? It's remarkable when I think about that. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back, and we are going to talk about the later years, Jackie and the later years. And before we do, I want to tell everybody to check us out at WWTF Radio 88.7 on the broadband system. And for all of our links, join linktree.com/WWTF Radio. It's where we are. And we will be right back after this.
Do you have sweaty balls or volleyball netty balls? It's time to make them ready balls. The Manscaped.com Lawnmower 3.0 will do the job and clean your knob with its patented no-nick head, so your head will function as desired. Enter promo code WrestlingFuture for a generous 20% discount. That's enter WrestlingFuture. For a 20% discount, Manscaped.com. And Wrestling with the Future, going balls to the walls with Manscaped.com. And the Lawnmower 3.0, your balls will thank you. And so will we.
We are back with What's the Buzz, America's Best Podcast tonight. Remembering Jackie Gleason with the premier Jackie Gleason tribute artist in the country, Mr. Sean Bailey, and Mike the Movie Maker Messier. You can find Mikey at MikeMessier.com. And he's got a couple of books. I'll tell you about his books later on. I want to show you guys one of the, or a couple of the only clips that I'm allowed to show you. Because the Jackie Gleason estate, much as I love them, will not let me show anything. So I want to take a look at these clips. And then when we come back, we'll watch them all first. And then when we come back, we'll talk. Okay? Sound good.
It isn't Ralph's fault.
It isn't Ralph's fault. Look, Alice, just because you're married to a horse doesn't mean you have to live in a stable.
What is she doing here?
Please, Ralph, she's my mother.
What's that? Your lunchbox?
Oh, you're starting right in, huh? Starting right in with the insults. No warming up in a bullpen or nothing, huh? Starting right in. I remember when you used to come over, you used to start slow with a couple of hello stupids and stuff like that. Now I don't even get that anymore, huh? Well, let me tell you something and get this into your head. This is my home, and when you come in here, treat me with respect. And address me with a civil tongue.
Oh, why don't you shut up?
Ralph, what's the matter with the two of you? Can't you ever get together without fighting?
I didn't start this. Mammy Yoakum did.
Ralph, I don't care who started it, but it is stopping right now. Anyway, what's that bag?
Oh, I told you about this. Remember last month they found a bag on a bus? Well, nobody claimed it, so now it's mine.
Well, what's in it?
I don't know what's in it. Can't be anything of value, or they would have claimed it.
Can't be of any value, or you wouldn't have found it.
Hey, you dirty. Look, Alice, I got something important to talk to you about, and I'd like to do it in private.
Anything you can say to my daughter, you can say in front of me.
What is it, Ralph?
Well, look, Alice, I'm short a couple of bucks, and I gotta pay my dues at the launch tonight. They're gonna throw me out if I don't.
Don't you give them a cent, Alice.
One of these days, you're gonna push me too far.
The only thing that could push you is a bulldozer.
All right, get out! Get out!
Well, all right, Alice, it's all right. I have to be going anyway.
You were going anyway. Whether you were going anyway or any other way, I'm throwing you out anyway. There isn't room in this place for you and me.
There isn't room in this place for you and anybody.
Out!
And to think that you gave up a good job in the laundry for this.
Do something.
Together we can lick the world.
I know.
Come on, Maxwell. It's almost time for retreat.
I'll be with you in a moment.
Retreat, soldier. You some
You embarrassed me. You made a fool out of me and out of my son, Junior, that twit. You've been running away, and I've been following you. I'm gonna catch you. And when I catch you, I'm gonna put you behind bars for the rest of your life. And then when you die, I'm gonna put you in a box. And I'm gonna put you behind bars for the rest of your natural death. Now when I leave here, I'm gonna get in my car. And I'll be in hot pursuit. You some.
This looks like it might be it. Where the fuck am I? Holy shit, is that funny. Whoa. Wait, that's not it? I thought that was it. There's more? I feel like we're either going to get arrested or I'm going to be abducted by aliens. Holy shit, what an amazing place. I'm about to go knock on the door to see if I could get permission to either see it or get on the property. It's Jackie Gleason's house. How fucking weird is this? Oh my god. Oh my god. There's this winding stairway that goes all the way around. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's like I've never seen anything like it. It's all really expensive looking organic. It's just incredible. Amazing. Imagine having all that money and this is like what it is you built? The mothership in your pod? What a weirdo. It's kind of cool.
Okay, we saw a hilarious clip from the Honeymooners. We saw a serious clip from a military. Jackie played a military individual. Then we saw a little glimpse into the private life of Jackie. He was a bit eccentric. Certainly his architectural style was a little unusual. He had a UFO built into his backyard, and his house was a round house like a spaceship. Sean, that's the UFO house that everybody makes such a big deal out of. Are you disappointed by the scope of it? I thought it was fascinating to me.
I absolutely love it.
Oh, I love it.
It's just amazing. You know, it's the mind that goes into being able to put that from paper into real life right there, you know, and have that vision for it. And it's just amazing.
Mikey. From an acting standpoint, you got Jackie doing comedy, same guy a couple of years later doing a rather serious military part. What's the difference in the dynamics there from an acting standpoint? Or do you simply change the mindset?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think Jackie said it himself on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1984. That a lot of great comedians have proven themselves in drama, but not a lot of great dramatic actors have proven themselves to be great comedians. So
absolutely.
It's in my opinion, and Sean, I wonder if he would agree with this. I think it does take a little bit more to get people to laugh than it takes to get them to cry.
It does.
And yeah. So, I mean, but Jackie could do them both. And to my pleasant surprise. Just, you know, literally at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm watching Requiem for a Heavyweight, and talk about some heavyweights within the first 5 minutes of that movie. You got Muhammad Ali, Anthony Quinn, Mickey Rooney, and Jackie Gleason. And Jackie is, I mean, you could say it's an ensemble lead, but I mean, Jackie more than holds his own with that performance. And I believe Jackie was nominated for an Oscar award for The Hustler. Was that right, Sean?
Yep, absolutely.
And one thing that Carson pointed out is that of all the awards that Jackie won, he won a Tony Award, Broadway Award, but he never won an Emmy. I think that's the case. Like he had more adulation as far as the official big time awards from film and from theater than he did from the medium of choice that he really perfected, which was TV. So quite an interesting career. I was kind of enamored with that house myself there. Is it Cortland Manor, New York? Where's the UFO? I think that's pretty cool myself.
Yeah, it's Peekskill, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peekskill, New York is what they're saying. I had not seen that. I heard all about this house for years and years. I finally had a chance to see it in a couple of videos. And one guy, the clip I pulled up, actually went to investigate it. He actually got into the property there. It's different. I think what's fascinating is that Jackie left the house exactly as it was. He left everything. He just moved. He just moved. And not that money's an object for him. He could set up shop wherever he goes, but I just thought it was fascinating that he would leave everything lock, stock, and barrel into this home, Sean,
Yeah. It kind of goes back to the night that he had with Richard Nixon for their little outing.
It really is. For those people who don't know, I'll tell you the story. This was 1959. And several years after the Roswell, New Mexico alleged saucer crash in Roswell, the desert of Roswell, Jackie and Richard Nixon were very dear friends. And Richard Nixon, who would become president later on, he knew that there were bodies. And he said to Jackie, "We have bodies. I've seen them. You want to go see them?" And he said, "Well, hell yeah, I want to go see him." The next day, Nixon shows up with his Secret Service entourage. He's Vice President of the United States at this point, 1959. And so they go to Taos, New Mexico. And there's an Air Force base there in Taos, New Mexico. And it's very close to White Sands. If you guys know where White Sands, New Mexico is. Big military installation. Still is today. And President Nixon proceeds to show Jackie Gleason the bodies of three purported dead aliens on ice. It affected Jackie so significantly. From that point forward, he was fascinated by the otherworldly, by UFOs, by space technology. He couldn't get enough of it to the point where he actually built his home in the shape of a flying saucer, for lack of a better word, and put a smaller guest house in the shape of a flying saucer. That little saucer-like building you saw, that was the guest house.
Yes.
It paled, of course, in comparison to the big house, the main house. But I think, Sean, you're right. When you have that kind of inquisitiveness, then your mind works in that direction. No level of satisfaction is ever really enough. And I think, and Mike, you saw the interview he did with Morley Safer. And I know, Sean, that you did. one of the things that I always refer to, he did that interview with Morley Safer like he knew it was going to be his last. Because I think he knew. I think he knew something, Sean, that he wasn't telling anybody. Yeah. He would, but at the same point in his life, he's doing nothing in common with Tom Hanks. He did the toy with Richard Pryor. He, of course, did, you know, the Smokey and the Bandit series, and a couple of other. He actually did an independent film in there too, but he did nine films. The majority of his films, people don't realize this, the majority of his films were after 1970.
Yeah.
He did some of his best work later in life. It's sad, though, to think that all he wanted to do was drink and play golf. And I want you to comment on that part of the later years of Jackie Gleason. You, again, you're a guy who knows him in a way that we can't.
You know, it goes back. You touched on the drinking and the golf. When he was drinking, he would never miss a show. He would never be late. He was still on time for everything. Go back to 76 when Smokey and the Bandit was being filmed. They had a delay. Gleason's on set, ready to go, and they have a problem with cameras. So he said, they come over and apologized. We apologize, Mr. Gleason. We're having some problems here, technical issues. We will get it taken care of. Sorry for the delay. You know, being very apologetic to the great one. So he says, no problem. I'll just have a hamburger every 15 minutes that we have to wait. So his scotch was a hamburger. So he's sitting there on set, calls for a hamburger. Mal brings him a hamburger. He drinks it down. Mm-hmm. There's another delay. 15 minutes later, another hamburger, drinks it down. Finally, when they're ready to film the scene, Jackie's feeling pretty good, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
So they set up the cameras, and this needs to be in one take because that's all they're going to get out of him.
Oh, my God.
So it's the scene when he steps out of the trailer and has Junior put the cuffs on the sergeant for the police department. And you can definitely tell he's feeling very loose. And, you know, it's a different Buford in that one scene just because he's a little loose. But I shouldn't say loose, maybe more stewed at the time.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I noticed about that scene. In addition to the relaxed nature of it, he was a hell of a lot funnier.
Yeah. Yeah.
He really was. He was funnier sloshed. And there are some people, and Mikey, I know you know some people like this because you hang around wrestlers. And I know, Sean, that you know people like this because you work around tribute artists.
Oh, yeah.
But some of these guys work better when they got a couple of two or three drinks in them.
Yeah, just to loosen the screws up just a little bit to give you a little flexibility there.
Let's talk about that. How limber do you have to get to play Jackie?
Oh, I don't know if we need to go into that because there's a lot of car driving involved with what we do.
I hear you, my friend. I hear you. I'll tell you what, this has been an amazing show tonight. Sean, I want you to talk a little bit about Eastbound and Down for people who have never experienced Buford T. Justice live and in person. Give people an idea, including my friend Mike Messier. Give everybody an idea of what Eastbound and Down is and what they can expect if they ever see this show live in their town.
Eastbound and Down is the ultimate Smokey and the Bandit tribute. We have the Trans Am, the Buford Sheriff Hardtop, and we recently added the Chop Top Buford car, where it loses the top, the door, and the trunk lid quarter panel. As the Le Mans is seen in the very last scene of the movie, before the wheel comes off, that is that car. So we've got that. We've got a Georgia Trooper car, and we've got a few snowman semis throughout the United States that we use. But we go out on tour, and we bring the Smokey and the Bandit movie back to life again. We're taking you back to when you're sitting in the theater back in 1977 and watching this on the big screen. You become a part of it in live action. So we go out on the road. We'll do a scene reenactment. If it's a low speed chase, if it's recreating the Diablo sandwich and Dr. Pepper scene, if it's just any of the scenes from the movie, we will go out and recreate that. And then after the scene's over, we're available for photos and autographs. And we have merchandise that is exclusive Eastbound and Down merchandise, as well as Smokey and the Bandit type of die casts, and just a whole lot of taking you back to a simpler time.
And people can go to BufordandBandit.com, if I remember. That's
Bandit
correct.
BufordandBufordandBuford.com or BufordandJunior.com.
Okay.
And that'll take you to all of our social media.
Perfect. And either one of those websites will get you to the Eastbound and Down Ultimate Tribute page, correct?
It will. It'll take you there. It'll take you to our all of our social media pages, being Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, just about everything.
Mike Messier, have you been to a BanditandBuford.com and checked out Eastbound and Down?
I'm on BanditandBuford.com on my other computer right now. I looked on it, and there's some really awesome pictures of the cast, including Sean, and it's really cool. And I looked at your upcoming events, and I'm kind of thinking you should tap into the Florida market again, because, you know, I would think that there's a lot of people in Florida that would love to see this show.
Big market, Dennis, Sean. Big market for you.
We will probably be back in South Florida again this year. So really looking forward to that. Just finalizing some details there.
Yeah, I live in Jacksonville at the top of the state. I don't know if I have a question. Time for one question for Sean. But I was wondering, could you give us your story of, like, the very first time you did Jackie Gleason as a paid gig? Like, was it a stand-up comedy show? Was it a tribute show? Do you remember your first time you performed as Jackie in a gig and what that was like?
Yeah, you know, the very first time, I was actually doing a different tribute show at the time, and I was going to be just more of the behind-the-scenes guy for Eastbound and Down and have the cars, and I had a couple other people that were lined up to portray the cast, and I had a guy flake out at the last minute. He didn't want the Hollywood stardom, as he said it was. And we had a gig the next morning. And, you know, we're looking at 12 hours to come up with a backup plan. And I was like, well, I've got the uniform. I've got everything to complete the Buford T. Justice. I had a mustache and goatee at the time, so went and shaved down to the pencil stash and created that iconic Jackie look, and threw the uniform on and come walking down the hallway at home, and my wife and daughter, and their expression, just by being able to carry in some of Jackie's mannerisms, it set it over the top, and they said, you can pull this off. So we go out and do the parade and then the meet and greet with fans afterwards. And it was just a huge response. And I was so glad to have that opportunity that it was like, I've always enjoyed Jackie, and I knew what needed to be for the character to portray him correctly, and with full respect. So for me, it was quite the honor to be able to actually put that uniform on and move forward. And then that's the same way it is now with how far we've come since then, just by getting into more of the iconic Jackie roles. Here recently got to see the actual Honeymooner set, his bus driver uniform, and, you know, just everything with it, his golf clubs, his golf cart, his personal limo, got to set in it. And it was like sitting there for just a moment, and it just kind of felt like Jackie was sitting there with you and saying, this is my scotch cabinet. Here's my TV, you know, here, would you like a cigar? You know, it just felt like he was right there, just commanding the scene in the limo. So it was something. So being able to take this role, portraying Jackie's Buford T. Justice, and then taking that to the next step for the Ralph Cramden, we'll be debuting that later this year, and then more of the Jackie roles are to come this year as well. So just proud to be able to keep his legacy alive and pay true respect to an icon.
Absolutely, for certain. And you do an amazing job. Mike, thank any you. Other questions you have for Sean?
Well, I think we probably have to do another show with Sean because it's just pretty awesome. Oh, we
absolutely will, for sure.
And
that's never a problem.
Yeah, the story that Sean just told is the if you want something done right, do it yourself.
That's it. And that's what Jackie did. That's the essence of Jackie Gleason.
Right.
That's really the essence of who Jackie was. If you want it done right, do it yourself. And it's that simple. It really, I wish it were, you know, complicated and deep and heady, but no, it's really not. Because Jackie wasn't a deep, heady guy. He was like, here I am. This is what you see is what you get, you know?
I'm not sure what the time limit is, but for the Honeymooners show, I guess, looking forward to that, are you going to have like the four characters? Are you going to have the two actresses? And because you don't really have the cars, is it, I guess I'm just asking what's the difference, or maybe that show production wise would be a bit easier because if it's more about the four main characters and not having a bunch of vehicles, maybe that's even easier to take on the road and go to different states and stuff, I would guess.
It will be. It's the way that we're kind of looking at it is to be able to come in and on it, maybe over a 2-night period, but on night one, or a 2-day event, but day one would be the experience. So going through paying tribute to all of the Jackie iconic characters and then moving on to the next day of the Eastbound and Down show. So we've got got a lot of things that are coming together. So that is one of the big things right there.
I saved some fascinating news for the end of the show, and I've been holding on to this for a little bit. The original Honeymooners set, the entire original Honeymooners set, lives and resides right here in the great state of New Jersey, in Edison, New Jersey. And I'm fortunate enough to know the guy who owns it. And he is a huge collector of movie memorabilia and television shows from, listen to this one, very specific, television shows from 1952 to 1967. What, very odd, but from 52 to 67. That's all he collects in television. But he's got the original Batman. Like, there were 5 Batman cars made by, you know, made by the guy. I forget his name anyway. But he's got one of the five original Batman cards. He also has the bat cycle that they used in the latest one, Mike Messier. The one that cycle with the giant wheels on it.
I think I know what you're talking about.
You know what you're talking about?
I think
it looked like a motorcycle, but it was a car that transformed into a motorcycle in the film. It was the car broke away and became a giant motorcycle.
Okay.
Essentially a car with two wheels is what it was.
Right, right.
See, I don't go to the movies like Mike Messier does.
He's
at the movies every night, okay? Every night. Because he's got unlimited wealth. He can do that, you know.
Yeah.
Either that or you get free tickets. You know the girl behind the box office. I don't know. I'll tell you what. Join us each and every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Soon to go five nights a week. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on What's the Buzz, America's Best Podcast for Mike Messier. You can find him at MikeMessier.com. Where are you, Mikey? Here it is. Hot damn, I found you, Mike. MikeMessier.com.
Thanks, Andrew.
And Sean Bailey. You can find Sean Bailey at Eastbound and Down, the great, the ultimate Smokey and the Bandit tribute, and that's BanditandBuford.com or BufordandJunior.com, right?
That is correct.
There you go. And you know where you can find me. I'm here every night. You know, I'm hanging out. I am the Mad Dog on behalf of Sean Bailey, on behalf of Mike, the Movie Maker Messier. Take care, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. East Coast time. Good night. God bless. Bye-bye.